We're asking one big question about every quarterback room in the NFL leading right up to the kickoff of the season. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And Pearl, we're slowly but surely making our way through all these very interesting quarterback rooms.
Oh, yeah. Big one today, Maggie.
I know. Manny, hit the music. Let's do it.
It's great for the NFL that you have great quarterback play.
Finding the right quarterback can change your franchise forever.
Can you throw it like a quarterback third in a lot?
32 teams, each with just one signal caller.
It's my quarterback.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
Go Bills.
Well, EJ, you've got the question for us. We're going to answer it today. My Buffalo Bills are right and stepping up to the plate. What do you have?
Yeah, that's very fitting that T.O. said that's my quarterback. This is Maggie's quarterback. Yep. We're talking Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
We're talking Josh Allen. And once again, similar to Dak Prescott, I'm trying to do a crystal ball here. So, does not have a Super Bowl. Bills, of course, don't have a Super Bowl. I'm wondering, is Josh Allen the next Matthew Stafford, a player who's going to play a long time with one franchise, but never get over the hump with them, but will then win a championship somewhere else?
Well, first and foremost, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you even put that into the world? It's my biggest fear.
How dare you?
Yeah, it is my biggest fear. I saw that Lions fans were very gracious when Matthew Stafford did leave and won with the Rams. And people are like, oh, we feel like we kind of won with him. That would not be me.
You're on record that your biggest fear is squirrels. I just want to point that out to anybody out there. This is your second biggest fear.
You know what? Yeah, it is. Squirrels, definitely 100%.
But the situation feels nothing like Matthew Stafford. Because Josh Allen's already won an MVP in Buffalo, has been deep into the playoffs many, many times. Matthew Stafford was on a disastrous Lions team for over a decade.
That's true.
Right. So the other thing, too, Matthew Stafford, let me ask you this. He aged perfectly. Like, he could never run when he came into the league. Is Josh Allen going to be at 35, or was Stafford 34? Like, is he going to be a Super Bowl-level quarterback at 35?
So I always like to think this about the really elite players, that they can play different ways when needed to. Like, when they need to. Like, LeBron James, you know, like, he had to add shooting to his game. And I think that good quarterbacks can find a way to continue to win even when, say, they can't run anymore. I think Lamar Jackson could do the same thing, where you're going to have to age into a different part of your career. And the guys who can't do that don't. Like, Cam Newton obviously couldn't do that, couldn't change how he played, and his career ended shorter than maybe it needed to. But I'd like to think that Allen would be able to pivot. I don't know, though. But we're talking about, if Josh Allen can't win a Super Bowl in Buffalo, would he go to if he goes to another team and wins, like, is this what we're setting up for?
Well, I don't think this is happening. I think Josh Allen is A, loyal, B, is in a great spot in Buffalo. The team is built around him. I think this is a Jim Kelly situation. And it feels like that's Jim Kelly never left. I feel like, I don't know what it is, that I'm usually wrong about this. He feels like a Bill for life. I mean, I thought Brett Favre would be a Packer for life and Aaron Rodgers would be a Packer for life. I feel like he feels like he is going to be there a long, long time.
Yeah, and listen, Dan Marino, State of Miami. This is what I actually worry about with Allen. So he's married to Hailee Steinfeld, right? And she's a very famous Hollywood actress. She's got to be in L.A. L.A. and Buffalo aren't close geographically. When they start having kids and their life really gets going, as far as, like, would he then start to get pulled west? And he's from California.
Yeah.
He's not from L.A., but would you get pulled maybe back towards family, and maybe he would justify it that way?
He's one of 37 quarterbacks who are linking to the Rams future after Stafford.
Yeah, Arch Manning is there.
Arch Manning
is
about every other aging quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers was linked there. And yeah, okay. But so, I understand. Because first thought, I was like, oh, does that mean McVay? I mean, what other option is there? Like, where is he going to win this mythical Super Bowl?
That's a good point.
I mean, McVay won it with Stafford. That's why.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like there are a lot of better situations at Buffalo because you get to beat up on this easy division.
Well, for how long, though, is the division easy, right? Like, May could be coming with the Patriots. Let's see how Aaron Glenn breathes some new life into the Jets.
It's been 14 years since the Jets made the playoffs. The Dolphins are a disaster. And the Patriots, Robert Kraft is in his mid-80s. There's a lot of uncertainty there. I just think that, yeah, this is a place to be. It's kind of like Peyton Manning was with the Colts. Now, the only reason he left the Colts was because he had a devastating injury. I don't know. I'd rather bet in well, how old is Josh Allen? 29?
No, 28, I think. 27, okay. 28.
So I'd be willing to bet that 10 years from now, he's still a Bill. I feel really good about this. You do bring up a great point about geography, but I'm just not sure there are a lot of easy situations. Like, there's going to be a ready-made Super Bowl team for him to just jump into?
Listen, you know, there's a lot of guys who thought they were going to one. Rodgers thought he was going to one on the Jets. Russell Wilson thought he was going to one maybe in Denver. Guys think that, you know, Brett Favre probably thought he was going to one when he left the Jets to go back to Minnesota. Guys feel like they can do this. I mean, this is my worst fear. And can I just add on top of it, this is why there is a certain faction of the Bills Mafia that is very much fallen out of love with Sean McDermott. Because how much longer, you mentioned it, Pearl, the division's been easy to beat up on ever since Belichick and Brady split up. Are you going to look back at all these years and say, boy, did we, you know, waste this, you know, red carpet to the playoffs where, you know, it was 17 years when the Bills were in a playoff drought. Now it feels like they make it every year because they are. But did you waste your moment? Did you waste your window? When you had, like, you know, they clinched the division by Thanksgiving last year.
I mean, you guys are total idiots.
They clearly, I mean, the AFC was a hot mess in the late 80s and early 90s. They blew that opportunity. So,
thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. I think that here, let me ask you another question about Josh Allen. You bring up the wife from who's LA, big actress, but he's from a very small town in California.
Yep.
He went to a very small college. And Wyoming.
Yeah.
It feels like he is not, he seems fine with Buffalo. Like, it seems to fit his personality in a way I can't describe. You follow much closer. Is he happy there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that he does, like, the city does suit him. There's a love affair, no doubt. But think about it. He went to Wyoming because he had to go to junior college and wasn't getting any offers. You know, then he gets drafted by the Bills. He's now chosen to re-sign with them because they continue to give him oodles and oodles of money, of which he deserves every penny. But if he ever had a chance to choose where he wanted to go, I don't know. He's never had that choice before. This is why guys, you know, fight for free agency, and that rarely happens in football. But
the other thing, too, is he's a pretty big brand. Like, that 17 Bills jersey, I see it everywhere. I don't know. I feel like he'd be watered down a little bit if he just left and was kind of did a KD situation. I don't know where. It's hard to do that as a quarterback. I think that there's, like, a whole thing going on with Josh Allen as a Bills quarterback. It's part of his identity. I can't picture him in another uniform. You know, would that look weird in your mind's eye?
Yeah, but it always looks weird when a legend, you know, changes uniforms. But I just don't understand why the Bills didn't jump on Lou Anarumo. The one guy in the world who can actually beat Andy Reid. You can't beat him. Sean McDermott is an Andy Reid disciple. You cannot beat Andy Reid in the playoffs when it matters. And Lou Anarumo, the guy who was out there from the Cincinnati Bengals, who actually can beat this guy in Arrowhead, and you didn't jump all over him because Sean McDermott's a defensive head coach. That is baffling to me.
Do they run the same defense?
Listen, bring in Anarumo just for ideas. He beat you in the playoffs, first of all, and he's the only one who's consistently in any way kind of beaten Mahomes. That seemed like a no-brainer to me. Anyway,
that was an unexpected little rant there.
I mean, I've been saving it.
Will Josh Allen be there in 10 years? Why do we have Lou Anarumo?
Well,
everybody knows the quarterback.
Listen, I think at some points Josh has done all he can do. Now, you can always play better. Nobody's perfect, but he plays very well in the postseason. This is why he's different than Lamar Jackson right now.
Well, the funny thing, too, is they're both so dependent on their legs. I'm not so convinced as you are that they'll be able to adjust into their late 30s.
Well, we really,
I mean,
that.
Josh moves around all the time, almost to his detriment. Like, I'd like to see him with an Andy Reid where it was, Mahomes moves around a lot, or like a coach who has a great offensive system and just had to stick to that and run the plays and not run. I don't know, like, if you took that away from Josh Allen, would he be quote-unquote Josh Allen?
I'm not sure, but we're not going to find that out for many, many years. But this is always the tough part about having a defensive head coach in a league that is so driven by quarterbacks. You lose your offensive coordinators. These guys get hired, you know? Brian Daboll, Manny's head coach now with the New York Giants. Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator now for Buffalo. How many interviews did he do last year? Now, the fact that he came back to Buffalo was good, but I don't know. You're going to lose your offensive guys. Josh Allen's going to get more people jobs than anybody.
And I kind of wonder, at a certain point, do we blame Josh Allen for Sean McDermott still being there? Because every time we talk about Sean McDermott's job security and he's asked about it, he always gives him a huge vote of confidence. Even though they've had to fire, you know, offensive coordinators, they've had to change coordinators, yep. The guys have left. He is stuck with Sean McDermott as his guy. So as much as Sean McDermott gets a lot of the blame for just his, you know, shortcomings as a head coach, Josh Allen is co-signing everything that Sean McDermott is doing by continuing to vote him as a guy he wants to be his head coach.
It's really, really hard because I think they do have battles behind the scenes for sure. Right. Yeah. And I think that it's evolved. Like, I think now, especially after the MVP, you know, McDermott's going to do the defense. And I think Josh Allen and Joe Brady do the offense.
That's the thing about the Bills, too, is that if their defense was elite, I think maybe we would feel differently. Where you say, okay, maybe you're losing the Chiefs, but you know what? The Bills every year, top five, top three defense. Like, who can we say? Who we're going to get that's better than Sean McDermott? But they've kind of been a middle of the pack, maybe like above average defense, I think you would probably say, over the last 5 years.
See, I think that's something where that's what gives it, people give him a lot of credit. Like, look at the guys you took.
Right.
And you got them to the AFC Championship game. You got them to score.
Do you mean Josh?
No, I'm talking about McDermott. Yeah. Like, sometimes he's had to really patch together a defense, either gotten hurt, gotten old, some of the draft picks that don't really pan out. So,
I mean, not just got hurt. They've been through so much. They had a player who basically died on the field and is back now, thank God. But they went through chaos the last few years. The other thing, too, is weren't they rebuild? What happened to the rebuild?
Never happened. I mean, that's a credit to their GM and maybe to the coaching staff. Listen, you wonder why the head coach is not getting fired. It was supposed to be a step back last year. And again, they had the division wrapped up by Thanksgiving. So,
I mean, the division helps. I do think that Woody Johnson, Stephen Ross, and Bob Kraft now, I mean, sorry, I think the Pagulas have an ownership edge here. I'm not sure they're going to let go of the division anytime soon.
Well, that's Josh. I mean,
the
MVP of the league, and you just mentioned EJ's Jets of Justin Fields with a bad toe, Tua, who can't get through a season, and now we'll see what happens with Drake May.
But I think those are all probably, except New England's confusing, but I would say definitely the Jets is an ownership problem. Like, that, you don't accidentally miss a playoff. They have the longest non-playoff streak in all four major sports.
I get it.
That can't be coincidence. And the Dolphins, I feel like, are right there. They're a total mess in the front office. And then, yeah, you have the Patriots. I know the Patriots are the big threat. They can, if Drake May is good, that we talked about earlier in the show, then maybe Josh Allen. But if you can win this event, he's going to go to the playoffs the next 8 years. I don't know. It's not Matthew Stafford. You have to admit, that was a far worse situation.
Yeah, we're asking, is Josh Allen going to be the next Matthew Stafford, where you spend the majority of your career with one team, then go to the other one, and immediately win the Super Bowl? A little part of me would die.
We don't want that to happen.
Would you follow Josh Allen like some Patriots fans follow Tom Brady?
I don't know if I'd even blame Josh. It would kill a little part of me, but I don't know if I could blame him. If you're that good and you go that far, like, I don't, you lose four, like, if Jim Kelly had lost four Super Bowls and then at the end of his career went to, not Dallas, but, you know, went somewhere else and won a Super Bowl, could I blame the guy? He's done as much as he could possibly do. It would still kill a little bit of me.
Wait, what was that 60 Minutes answer? I said, would you follow? Would you be a fan of him on the new team? Are you afraid to go on the record here?
No, I don't do. I'm thinking. I don't do that. I root for teams. I like players, but I root for teams. I'm old school.
I mean, that'd be interesting. It would really put you to the test in that one.
It would.
I would root for him. You can root for him. No, I guess because Brady already had the rings.
Well, the other part too is, you know, Josh Allen handles himself like amazing. You know, he never gives you a reason not to root for him. So he always comes correct. He's handling his career brilliantly, you know, and he's extremely likable guy. So I don't know about anything about him privately, but publicly he's a very likable dude. So that helps, you know.
But I know the Boston fans all rooted for Brady.
Like, well, they also had six Super Bowls in the back pocket. What a guy literally can't do any more for you.
Yeah, I think that's the big difference. Say Josh Allen in 8 years went to Arizona and won a Super Bowl. Could you do it? Yeah, let me ask you this question. If Josh Allen does win a ring and then late in his career decides to go to L.A. because his wife and his family's out there.
Oh, if he wins the ring, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Have fun. Can't wait to see you at the reunion.
Got it. So no, this is ring dependent.
This is a ring dependent thing.
Got it.
This is ring culture. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Actually, you know what? I'd almost rather have him win the ring and then leave.
Go Bills.
Because I don't want to have to do the aging star thing, and then when do you push him out? And you know, is he overstayed his welcome? And now you're doing a Ben Roethlisberger thing at the end. Like, don't do that. Leave on a high note.
I'm very curious how Josh Allen ages. I'm really, really interested in this. And same with Lamar. I mean, much more. Once Lamar is not the most explosive quarterback ever, who is he going to be? I think Lamar, I agree with you. He could be awesome. I mean, we have no idea.
We've got lots to do, including the Maggie and Perloff bracket of the greatest sports nicknames of all time. We're getting down here to the final, well, literally the final four. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Go Bills.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I've learned a lot from our nickname bracket, Maggie. The Maggie and Perloff Show nickname bracket, figuring out the best nickname in all of pro sports.
What have you learned? Share with the class.
I have strong opinions on what makes a good nickname. You can't have the person, and this is not the way people voted. If the person's full name is in there, like Hammering Hank Aaron and Mean Joe Green, that's not a nickname. It's got to be one thing, like the human highlight reel to me. That's a nickname. Just adding a word in front, and also, I think you and I differ on this. You can't just sort of do initials or just change one letter in the guy's name. Like Andy is not a nickname for Andrew,
right? So it's funny that you said Hammer and Hank Aaron, because Hank is definitely a nickname for Henry. But
no, it's not. Is that a nickname to me? And
yes.
Here's the other thing: if you're Chad Ochocinco, I'm sorry, that's not a nickname anymore. That's his name.
Oh, because he legally changed it?
And it's been that way for a decade. Like, nobody knows. Young kids are not going to have any idea that his original name was Johnson.
I think that's what makes it such a good nickname, is that it's become so much a part of them that people don't even remember what the real name is. I think I'm totally opposite from you on that. Like, Magic Johnson is a great nickname. People might not even know it's Irvin. I think that's what makes it good.
Yeah, but his name is Magic Johnson.
Well, that's no, his name's Irvin Johnson.
That's not, no one calls Magic a nickname anymore. Now it's just his name.
Like, right, that's what makes it good.
Yeah, I just think it's his name. It's not really a nickname. Is like the answer or the Iceman.
Right.
Yeah, something that is totally unrelated. Like, Andy is not a nickname for Andrew, by the way. Is that even, is that what's called a nickname?
Practice?
Is EJ a nickname for Elijah?
My Jay middle name that nobody knows.
Well, I know.
I was trying to trick him right there.
Wait, by the way, so I know EJ's middle name now. Did you hear how this went down on our production call the other day?
I did hear you guys talking about it.
Yeah. So leave it to a child. All of a sudden, my kid busts in the room and says, EJ, what's your middle name?
Is that right?
EJ gave up the goods immediately. I mean, his little angel voice on the other end, you're in a tough spot there, but it would have been hilarious if you told my kid, like, sorry, Lucas, can't do it.
Well, listen, it's like when, you know, Superman or Batman, you know, when they see a little kid that scares, when they take off their mask, be like, hey, listen, it's going to be okay. Like, that's what you got to do sometimes.
Jackson.
So young six-year-old Lucas, yeah,
gave it up.
Yeah.
Jackson, Joseph.
No, wrong.
I can't believe we didn't get it this whole time.
I mean, EJ told me about a year ago, and I forgot within days.
I guessed it, and I don't remember now.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you guys?
Jonah Jameson.
Because it's like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. It wasn't like...
It wasn't Jehoshaphat.
It wasn't that unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Jehoshaphat would have been remembered, exactly. That'd be cool.
Am I allowed to say out loud what I think I remember it being?
I don't know,
guys. Or do you want it to be a secret still?
No.
Let's keep the secret going.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have to do something way bigger to give this up, but I was surprised how quickly Lucas just got that out of EJ over the phone.
Jebediah.
No.
Ooh.
That would have been cool.
Is Manny a nickname for Emmanuel?
I guess.
Think so.
I just shortened it because Emmanuel sounds better in Spanish than it does in English. Three syllables is a little too much. In Spanish, it's two syllables, so that's why I'm Manny for the English-speaking folks and Emmanuel for the Spanish-speaking folks.
Bogus, so you would say if, say, somebody new came to the office, that's Emmanuel, his nickname is Manny?
I know three Mannies, and all three of them are Emmanuel.
Right, but it's not a nickname because we call him Manny. That's my point. Like, a nickname is like the fridge.
No, you want the Pillsbury Throwboy.
Right. Yeah, I want a nickname. I want something that is like creative to some point. I just think we should have been judging more along certain, like, I'm sorry, Mean Joe Green should not have beaten the Intimidator, for example.
You want me to be like La Bichuela or something like that? You want me to be El Frijol? You want me to be the beans, right?
Can we call you El Frijol?
If you want to, I guess. It's a nickname.
George is in L.A., wants to weigh in on these nicknames. How you doing, George?
Oh, good, you guys. Good morning.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was fortunate enough to go to the Coliseum and meet the fearsome foursome, Lamar Lundy, Rosie Grier, Deacon Jones, and Merlin Olsen. And they were really nice guys. I guess it was a different world back then. I was just a kid. But to me, they were an amazing team, an amazing nickname. And Perloff, just so you know, just not trying to be rude, but the Rams are the team that's going to stop your Eagles.
Oh, George calling your shot.
I love it.
Although Stafford's got to get over that back issue that's keeping him out of training camp this week.
But for example, Deacon Jones, tell me his real name. Does anybody know it? His name is now Deacon. It's not a nickname anymore.
But so Fearsome Foursome is a little bit different because that's obviously the entire line. Yeah. We didn't do Steel Curtain. We didn't do Murderer's Row. We didn't do Gangrene or New York Sack Exchange. We didn't do Broad Street Bullies. Just individuals.
Right.
Yeah. Just to, you know, get it out there.
We didn't do Deacon Jones.
We did not do Deacon Jones.
We did not do Rosie
Well, Greer. Hold on. Let's get to our results. Manny, hit the music.
64 nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
All right, Perl, you don't like it when somebody's actual name is in the nickname?
Huge pet peeve of mine.
Well, chew on this. Mean Joe Green. Easy win over the Intimidator. The Intimidator, Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Is there a better name than Mean Joe Green?
Apparently not, according to you guys out there. 65% to 35%, Mean Joe Green into the Final Four. And as for that was the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, the Flash and Fun region, the 9 seed, William Refrigerator Perry, the Fridge marches on.
The Refrigerator, William Perry from the Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears.
The Fridge took out Dr. J, Julius Erving, 55% to 45%. So EJ, give us the Final Four matchups again.
Okay, so now the Final Four, you will have Air Jordan versus Mean Joe Green. And then you'll have The Fridge versus the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
Man, it's kind of funny how that worked out with what Perloff was just talking about, how you don't like the person's name in the nickname. Air Jordan, Mean Joe Green on one side of the bracket, and then The Fridge and the great one who don't have their names in it on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, Air Jordan's an exception, though. I'm voting for that one. Air Jordan's funny, though. We had a debate yesterday. Do you actually call him Air Jordan to his face?
No.
I'm not sure. People did call him that for a while.
I feel like you may, as a joke, call him his airness, your airness. I don't know if anyone would say, I'm here with Air Jordan.
You say Air Jordan with a jump shot. That wouldn't sound funny. That would make sense.
If you wanted him to sign an autograph, would you go, hey, Air Jordan, come sign my basketball? I don't think so.
Well, the funny one to me in this whole thing, Jeremy Lin was nicknamed Linsanity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his nickname or is that the period of time when he played?
Both.
Yeah, like Linsanity comes. Do you say Linsanity drives in the lane and hits a layup? The announcers didn't say it.
No, but I bet if he was walking down the street in New York, someone would say, hey, Linsanity. They'd probably shout that at him.
God, imagine how insufferable Manny must have been during that.
Yeah, I was. I was also like 14, so cut me some slack.
No.
It was a fun time.
It was a fun time.
Was it like 9 days?
Everyone can get behind Linsanity.
Remember that Valentine's? That was a purely New York thing. A New York media. That was, trust me, I did not get behind Linsanity.
You're bugging. That was not
New York. No, that made the cover of SI 2 weeks in a row because the SI was loaded with New York people. I'm telling you, that was crazy. But the rest of the world is like, what is happening?
Not China.
That was a national, international story. What are you talking about?
Taiwan, it was so overrated because of the New Yorkness. He made 2 SI covers in a row. And I was like, it hadn't happened since.
But America,
since Hank Aaron.
There's his Philly bias, but pointing out, you know, earlier Maggie can't have a take about Bryce Harper, and now all of a sudden this guy has a take about Linsanity, calling it overrated.
You don't think that Jeremy Lin 2 weeks was overhyped?
I think that what it meant to the Asian community and about representation and how this was so, you know, quite frankly, just against type that you would have. There weren't Harvard-educated Asian American players beating Kobe Bryant in Madison Square Garden. So I think a lot of that was because his race.
Do you think if it had happened in Milwaukee, it would have the same national craze?
You know, I think because there's a huge Asian population in this country, I do think it would have caught on. I mean, I think the Garden always helps. If you're asking me about
it's
basketball,
it's a whole debate. Would Derek Jeter be Derek Jeter if he played in Kansas City his whole career?
Well, Derek Jeter was also about winning. I don't think that was just about New York. If there was a dynasty that was happening in Kansas City, I think that he would get his proper due.
Saludos, compañeros.
I totally disagree.
Okay. I mean, that's fine, but I'm not going to disagree.
The Asian community would have got behind Jeremy Lin if he was beating Kobe Bryant on national TV?
It would have been a big deal. It would have been a big deal, but it wouldn't have been Linsanity. Linsanity, by definition, the country went insane. But it was really the New York media. Yeah, insane definition. Like, this is not rational.
Went Linsane.
No, but two SI covers in a row. I was like, what is happening here? If it had happened in Milwaukee, I guarantee that would not have happened.
Okay, that's fine if you want to point out that it got heightened because it happened in New York.
It did.
Like, okay, that's fine. No one's going to disagree with you about that, but to say it wouldn't have been a big deal.
No, I didn't say it would have been. It would not have been Linsanity, though.
It still could have had the cool nickname.
It would have been a national story.
Yeah, I just don't think it would have become an all-encompassing media fire for part of a month like it did. I think it would have been much more cooler. It would have been a big deal, but it was Linsanity. It was really like the number one story in sports. Number one story in sports for 2 weeks. I think there was a big New York part
of
that.
But here's the thing. Shohei Ohtani. Was that not a big deal? What he did, being from Japan, hitting and pitching, doing it for the Angels, which, yes, is technically, I guess, it's Anaheim, but nobody thinks that it's on par with the Dodgers. I'm sorry, Anaheim, but it's the second fiddle franchise in that L.A. market. It's still a huge deal, and if Shohei was doing
Shohei was the best player in the sport. Jeremy Lin was a 10-day guy who had a hot 2 weeks.
I know, but you're asking, like, does it have to be in New York to be this craze? And I'm saying absolutely not.
Ooh, okay.
Hey, what about Tebow Mania? That guy didn't play anywhere in New York.
Tebow won two national titles. Jeremy Lin, again, had like a hot 4-game stretch.
Yeah, but that's also like Hawk 2 was not from New York. That's the thing. It was one of those burn bright, burn out type of thing.
All right.
Flash in the pans are like not just solo to New York City. There's plenty of flash in the pan stories that we've had all throughout the history. Am I wrong? I mean,
I just thought Jeremy Lin was a little overhyped.
Well, you can think that's fine, but no one also is saying that he's the greatest player of all time. Like, we're acknowledging that it was a short stint, because then he went to Houston and it wasn't as good.
Do you know how many athletes in the history of American sports have made back-to-back Sports Illustrated covers?
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, maybe? I don't even know.
Yeah, and Jeremy Lin does not belong in the same sentence with Muhammad Ali.
Well, take it up with the editors of SI.
But also, I was there.
Did you have a story that got canned over this?
It seems really personal. Here's the other thing, too. Do you think anyone canceled their SI subscription over that? Like, I don't think it offended people. Like, it seems to have offended you.
It didn't offend me. I just think it was like, it's classic New York media. Just blowing something that is not that big of a deal it was like all encompassing. It was probably the number one story. He was a heavy consideration for Sportsman of the Year.
But they didn't give it to him.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, he was definitely overhyped. Because how many games did he actually do that for?
Random hate for Jeremy Lin at 8:33 on a Tuesday morning.
Write a letter to the editor. You sat next to him.
I'm the only non-New Yorker here, so don't understand.
Well, in fairness, though, ratings for those games were massive. Like, we're acting like, only New York cared. That's not true. The country cared. And
you know who's with me?
Who?
Carmelo Anthony.
Well, yeah, and that's why he didn't finish a Nick. But, like, also, I want to say this, too, and I'm sorry. Like, it matters that it was the Knicks. It matters that it was Madison Square Garden. It matters that it was New York City. This is the mecca of basketball. This idea that, is only because of that. Well, that's part of it. Like, just like it would matter if he was doing it with the Lakers or if an NFL player was doing something incredible for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, that matters. Like, I don't think that takes away from the story. It makes the story better. This is a terrible franchise that was hopeless. And then a guy who was playing from Harvard that barely made the team randomly goes on this crazy 3-4 week stretch. Yeah, it's a big story.
Sleeping on someone's couch.
Yeah, it's. I don't know where the negativity comes from something like that.
I think it was overhyped, and I think it was a lot of New York people driving the story.
New York is New York is the lifeblood of basketball. So I think to separate New York City and say, well, it's only New York City. Well, basketball is important in New York City, just like New York City is important to basketball.
But Maggie just said Shohei was in Anaheim and blew up, and it doesn't matter where you are. I just literally just heard on our own show, it doesn't matter where you are, you can burn bright.
Yeah, I think you can. But does Madison Square Garden help? Sure. But if you are going to be a thing, I think you're a thing anywhere. If it's going to have a moment, it's going to have a moment. Like, sometimes we determine, like, Caitlin Clark was doing this at Iowa. Like, sometimes not being in the big city helps. Sometimes, you never know. Not every story is the same.
Hey, but you and I'm really surprised. Like, you guys really think Derek Jeter would be as famous a person if and this like a, the same view if he was in Kansas City the whole time? See, I thought
Derek
that was
Jeter,
the Yankee.
You shot
before.
Me.
Did they win 4 times in 5 years?
No.
Well, then that's the difference. If he go, if he has the same exact everything in a Royals uniform.
I mean,
he's still Derek Jeter.
Travis Kelce's doing it in Kansas City because they're winning, and then he started dating Taylor Swift. Like, it doesn't have to be in New York.
So the guys who won, and I don't even know their names, are the Giants, the three titles in the early 2010s. Did they all explode like Jeter?
Well, who on that team was Jeter? Who has Jeter's resume? He's because at the end of the day, he still has
Madison
three.
Madison Bumgarner is huge.
Is
and,
he huge?
And Buster Posey's
Derek
known.
Jeter is the face of the sport for
he's right. a biracial angel.
But he also did it for the franchise in the sport. Of course, the Yankees.
Yeah, I think it's like a New York.
But
thing.
he wouldn't be a no-name player if he was still the shortstop on a team that won 4 times in 5 years.
No, I definitely wouldn't be a no-name, but he wouldn't be Derek Jeter as we know him now.
He'd be in the Hall of Fame still.
Yeah, of course.
And he's handsome. He'd still be selling me stuff.
I mean, you know how huge Derek Jeter is as a name in the sport?
Yes. Alex Rodriguez got really, really big even before he got to New York. He got really big in Seattle. He was really big in Texas. Like, you can be also a huge figure. Jeter had a lot going for him. He had the winning. He won right away when he got up to the majors. He had the dating life that was really exciting for people. He was like the most eligible bachelor. Like, he had a lot. There was a lot to the story, right?
I also think we just can't pretend like doing incredible feats for flagship franchises don't matter. It does. And I don't think that it's a negative. I don't take it as, oh, well, actually, he's not that good. It's like, no, it's a lot harder sometimes to do it for the Yankees than it is for other teams. It's a different standard. It's a different pressure. There's different things that go into it. So there's a difference for the importance of the sport and for the importance of the league. So I don't take, and I know I'm a New Yorker and we're talking about New York teams, but again, if we were talking about the Dodgers and the Lakers, I would say the exact same thing. Is Kobe Bryant as idolized as he was if he was doing this for, you know,
the
Miami Heat or the Charlotte Hornets? We have people who call here say Kobe Bryant's better than Michael Jordan, better than LeBron James. Kobe Bryant fans yelling at me like all the time on social media. Is it because he's a Laker? Or is it because he's just great? You know, it's you can do this for any franchise. Larry Bird. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, the other thing, too, is like I don't think Jeter was as great a player as his reputation.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
we can do that if you want.
But that's not, by the way, you guys are acting to me like I'm crazy. Like, I am not the only person who thinks
that. No, we're not.
Because you shot Derek Jeter.
I feel like his reputation got amped up because he was a Yankee.
But of course it does. But it seems like, I don't think you're also, like, what's unclear to us is what you think he should be if he didn't play as a Yankee. Like, I don't understand what you're presenting as this huge drop.
He'd be closer to Nomar or somebody. Like, or, you know, he wouldn't be like, Derek Jeter is idolized. Like, he was.
Because he won 4 titles. If you take that off the table, he's not Derek Jeter. But if he wins 4 titles in 5 years somewhere else with all these same numbers, he's still. So he's an 8 out of 10 instead of a 9 out of 10? Is that what you're saying?
But don't you think his reputation comes out a little bit?
But not to a point where he's unimportant.
I'm not saying he's unimportant. I'm saying he's not.
I think he's overhyped.
I still don't know what you're saying to the negative side. Like, I don't know how much you want to like degrade him for being a Yankee or not being a Yankee.
I don't think he's the face of the sport like he was.
Yeah, if there any team's winning 4 out of 5 years and he's doing all of those same things, making all of those same plays, how is baseball not selling him?
I'm Derek Jeter. You shot me.
I mean, I think A-Rod would be a bigger star. Like, I think Jeter was right there with A-Rod this whole life, probably ahead of him. I think if Jeter was in another market, I don't think it would have the same like galore.
Has there ever been a dynasty where someone, the face of the sport, was not someone in that dynasty?
Right.
Like, I don't think
like
that's
Tom Brady.
I don't think it's ever happened. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Magic and Bird.
All of those
Spurs,
Steelers in the 70s.
Michael Jordan.
What about the Spurs dynasty? Tim Duncan really wasn't the face of the NBA.
Was that really a dynasty?
But if he was a Knick, it definitely would have been.
Also, you have to throw in the fact, like, I don't know what Tim Duncan wanted to do in that situation.
Also, Kobe was playing during that time. He wasn't a dynasty. So the Duncan thing really isn't fair because you have a guy who had a Derek Jeter resume already.
But also, if Duncan was Barkley, he would have been a bigger deal then.
Of course.
The way he carried himself also limited how crazy we were going to get about him how much he was going to be out there. Like Mike Trout. Mike Trout doesn't want to be Derek Jeter, so he just goes about being Mike Trout.
Yeah, I mean, if Tim Duncan was Kevin Garnett, in terms of personality, I think he'd be a different. We see looking at him different.
For sure.
I mean, Kevin Garnett's a crazy person. You definitely market that.
Speaking of, we do have to get to.
Exactly.
The next Laker legend, that'd be Luka Doncic. Major glow up happening in Croatia right now where he looks phenomenal. We'll get to that and Bogus' headlines in just a moment. M&P, welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff show. Let's get to Bogus, who's got all the headlines today because it's a real mixed bag out there of some crazy stuff that went on yesterday. Hi, Bogus.
Roger Goodell told NFL employees last night they could take today off altogether or work from home while the league and NYC authorities process what happened yesterday in Manhattan. An NFL employee was severely wounded. Four others died in a mass shooting in the building and outside the building that houses NFL headquarters. The alleged shooter reportedly had a 3-page note on him. It said, in part, he believes he had CTE and wanted his brain studied. Now on to our normal NFL news, where Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said yesterday there is no timetable for Kenny Pickett to return from the hamstring injury suffered over the weekend. Joe Flacco gets the large majority of first-team reps in the meantime. The Titans are waiving wideout Treylon Burks shortly after he broke a collarbone at training camp. If no one claims him, he can go to their IR. Burks was the first-round pick that Tennessee got for A.J. Brown. He's only caught 53 balls for 699 yards and one touchdown since then.
That trade really worked out.
Oh,
for the Eagles.
God.
Yeah.
I saw that described as the worst trade in NFL history multiple times on social media.
It has to be.
No, doesn't the Herschel Walker one?
Yeah.
That will be the worst trade.
But the thing is, they didn't have to take Treylon Burks. They probably could have taken another player. They traded the pick.
Right. The mistake was Burks. Was not...
Yeah, getting a first for AJ is good in theory. But what do you do with the pick?
Yeah, I'm sure if we could find wide receivers in that draft who are way better than Treylon Burks.
Or just any other player.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Anyone who's out there actually playing.
Anybody with a pulse.
A pair of long winning streaks in baseball ended last night. The Mets losing in San Diego 7-6 despite leading 5-1. That ends their 7-game run. The Rangers 6-game streak ending in Anaheim 6-4. The Astros lose again, now 5 in a row, 2-1 to the Nationals. The Orioles used 4 homers and 16 total hits to down the Blue Jays 11-4, and the Twins outlasted the Red Sox.
Battle mold right now for Brooks Lee. With one out, down 0-2. Line to left field, slicing, and that's a fair ball. Twins are going to win this game. Gasper scores, Castro scores, and the Twins win in walk-off fashion. Brooks Lee does it again.
That's from Twins TV. Brooks Lee's latest heroics, that two-run single, giving Minnesota a 5-4 win over the Red Sox. Boston took the lead top nine on a Roman Anthony RBI single, but then a 90-minute rain delay began. Hall of Fame second baseman Ryan Sandberg passed away yesterday at just 65, more than a year and a half since announcing he had prostate cancer. The current Cubs had that on their mind during an 8-4 loss in Milwaukee. That breaks, for now, their tie atop the NL Central. The Dallas Wings made just one shot in the fourth quarter, but still beat the Liberty 92-82, 20 points for Paige Beckers. Well, they were up 23 through three, so they had a cushion.
They had a really big lead.
To be terrible. And the Storm handled the Sun 101-85. Skylar Diggins, 11 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists. Back to you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I looked at the receivers after Treylon Burks.
Oof.
Yeah. Not good, though. Christian Watson, always hurt. Wandale Robinson?
Yeah.
Is he going to be a thing at all? No.
No, he's hurt all the time.
I think
John Metchie
got hurt
immediately. John Metchie got sick immediately. Yeah. Tyquan Thornton, nothing. George Pickens.
Mm-hmm. Right, but you don't have to look at the wide you could have grabbed a tight end. You could have grabbed an offensive lineman. I mean,
any useful player.
Yeah.
But no, but you just, I think the trade was, as I recall, they just traded A.J. Brown. They needed a receiver.
Exactly. Well,
that was always going to be a high bar to live up to, though. It's like, we're going to trade out this guy for someone who plays his position. So immediately the fan base is like, great, you're the next A.J. Brown. And then that didn't happen.
And you remember, too, they were worried about his weight coming in. So there was a lot of issues about, is Treylon Burks going to work hard enough? And the answer was a definitive no.
Was that like a draft day trade?
Yes,
it was. It was, right?
Yeah, yes, we were in, it was. Perloff and I were in Vegas. covering the draft. We were out there for CBS Sports Radio at the time. Now, obviously, the Infinity Sports Network doing the draft in Vegas. I think that was our first year doing the show together. And it happened like 2 seconds into the draft, if I recall this.
Right, but not like with Tennessee on the clock to go, or with the Eagles on the clock to go get Burks.
Yeah.
Like they had the pick
yes.
and the draft unfolded, and then they still use it on him.
And I ripped the trade because I'm like, why are you spending $25 million on a receiver?
Yeah, that was receivers the new running back.
But I didn't know that the Eagles had figured out a way to cheat the salary cap and pay everybody, which is the reality of the situation.
I also feel like they really made a good bet on A.J. Brown. I thought he was good. I didn't think he was a superstar wide receiver, which is what he is.
Well, let's be honest, though. There was a moment where I felt like I was falling off the rails with him. Remember when he was reading a book on the sideline?
I mean, that easy. If they had lost in the playoffs, he'd probably be unhappy right now.
I think so, too. Maybe asking for a trade. I don't know.
But
they continued to pay him, though.
He was always under DK Metcalf's shadow forever, even though he was drafted before because of the Ole Miss guys.
Yep.
I felt like he was – I'm surprised. Because you could argue he's the best receiver in the NFL right now. You can make that argument. I'm not saying
he's great, though.
I would put Chase ahead of him and Jefferson ahead of him, but he's right there.
I think he's maybe the best not them wide receiver. Those two guys are different.
But can I be honest, though? Part of me feels like the only reason why we're not putting him in those conversations is because of Jalen Hurts. Sorry.
Yeah, that'd be Jalen Hurts. He also, they don't let Jalen Hurts throw that much.
Yeah, because he's not elite.
I mean, yeah.
But you know what Jalen Hurts' secret weapon is? The long
the
bomb
push.
To A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Him getting touched on the
behind. That's not Saquon. A secret anymore, Maggie.
Let's go to Austin, who's in California. Good morning, Austin. How are you?
I'm doing well. Man, that report earlier about, families dying or whatever, that kind of put me in a bummer mood. So not as well as I would have been. But, hey, listen, we're talking like nicknames in sports. Okay, so Usain Bolt, I don't know if that's his nickname or if that's his real name. We'll go there. And then the Linsanity thing, like being from Oakland, like born and bred Bay, Linsanity didn't start in the Madison Square Garden. It started in Oakland before the Warriors decided to go over the Bay Bridge into, San Francisco. So Linsanity is a good name, but he knows that he's from Oakland. He's from the East Bay, and that's all I got to say. But man, what a bummer about whatever happened.
Oh, the shooting in New York. Oh, it's just horrible. Awesome.
Yeah, like that's stronger than a cup of coffee. And I'm walking my dog right now, and it's a major bummer. Whenever I hear this stuff, it makes me very upset. And I haven't had caffeine yet, and that woke me up, and I'm very sad. Well, I'm very, very sad to hear anything like that.
Awesome.
But anyway, you guys wake me up and make me very happy every time. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Austin, a lot there. Yeah, devastating if you're just getting the news. A gunman came into a building in New York where the NFL headquarters are, but that's not the only offices. But they shot a security guard, several other people, and the gunman had a note in their pocket, as Bogus just went through, that he believed he had CTE. He was a standout high school football player in California is what we're hearing. Never made the college level or the pros, but as obviously harboring something against football or what happened to him, which is just it's horrible. It's devastating. We're sorry we have to bring you this news. And, it's funny about Roger Goodell said, put out a statement, take the day off.
Yeah, Raj, of course.
Take the week off. I mean, no amount of time. You can't put time limits on, this kind of trauma and what that could do psychologically to people to walk back into that building. But I can't imagine it'd be easy to do that, whether it's tomorrow, the next day, or the next day.
Oh,
as far
absolutely.
As Linsanity, because Jeremy Lin's from Oakland, claim that?
Did he start his career with the Warriors?
He did also start with the Warriors.
Technically, but that's not where Linsanity happened.
There? He's from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Stanford area, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but you can claim him as like he's a famous person and a successful person from your area, but Linsanity happened on the other coast.
They cut him. The Warriors cut him. No, it didn't start in Oakland.
888-710-4ISN. Okay, what's going on now with the Browns quarterback situation? We've got the latest next.